Anyway, I noticed something during the week which I thought I'd bring to your attention. I was in Balls Bridge, and just near Balls Bridge there's a hotel, and in front of the hotel there is little gardens, and it has box hedging all around the perimeter. And I noticed a wood pigeon walking on the box hedge. Now, probably no big deal, but I've never seen a bird walking on hedge before in my life. I've seen birds perched on branches, etc., etc. But this one was actually walking. And I whipped out the phone. Of course, by the time I got my phone out, it actually flew away. But I got me wondering all about pigeons and how they walk and all that kind of stuff.
It was a wood pigeon, I take it.
Wood pigeon, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
They walk in my back garden as well. I have a pyracantha bush. And the pyracantha bush is covered in flowers in summertime and the bees are there. But in the autumn time, it's covered in berries. And the wood pigeons walk on the hedge. They don't sort of like a tightrope walker. I mean, yeah. They land on the hedge. They find some class of a bit of the hedge to land on. And then they nud over and then they walk another step and they do it. But they're not like walking in a straight line because it's a good bush.
No, and they can do that. Very dense.
But that's in the autumn. But what I noticed recently was I was looking at me elder tree. I have an elder tree as well in the back garden. Wonderful plant collection. And the leaves on the top of the tree were like lace. They were shredded to bits. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what has been eating me leaves away up on the top of the tree? What class of a caterpillar? I must send a note into that woman in the Irish Times and ask her. But as I watched and listened, it was actually the pigeons. They had come down, landed on the top of the tree and shredded the leaves to bits. They weren't eating berries. They were actually eating the leaves. Berries are on there now and they're hanging upside down trying to get the berries, because when the berries are ripe, they hang down. But they walk from branch to branch. And I suppose on trees, the branches are further and they get more to eat. Probably on your hedge, Derek, because it was a mouthful at a time, they had to keep going.
But it was the walking. It was the walking.
Yeah. I mean, if you think when you normally see a bird perched in a bush or in a tree, it's usually a songbird. And think about like a blackbird or a songthrush or something like that. And most of those, when you see them walking on the ground, they don't really walk the way that we do, one foot in front of the other. They tend to hop along. And it's thought that this is an adaptation, that their legs are coordinated and synchronized. It makes them very good at gripping onto things in trees. Now, there are other songbirds, like crows, for example, which are a type of songbird. They do habitually walk one foot in front of the other like we do. Wagtails, another good example of that too. But pigeons are different. They're not closely related to those other birds at all, and in all around the world, they really do specialise in feeding on foliage. They eat fruits as well, maybe grain, all of these things. But pigeons, as a group, are very well adapted to feeding on leaves, which is something that not many birds really do in a European context, other than the pigeons. There's a few that do it to a small degree, but nothing like the pigeons do. And if you go to the tropics, then where obviously you have a huge variety of different plants and different leaves, you'll see many different species of pigeon that feed on those. And many of those species of pigeon have evolved to be brilliant green in colour. So they're camouflaged when they're doing that, and they're feeding up in the canopies of the trees. So that's what pigeons do. They eat fruit, they eat leaves, and they're very good at doing it. And they have a special digestive system that allows them to get the maximum nutrition from this, because it's not the most nutritious food. I mean, Derek, imagine if you ate nothing but, let's say, lettuce for a week. You wouldn't be feeling too good after, because there's not a huge amount of nutrition in that. You need to eat a huge quantity of that to be able to get enough nutrition, or to extract, or have a special digestive system that will allow it to extract the nutrition into your body. And so pigeons have become very good at clambering around in trees. And that's probably what
you're
saying.
That's exactly the word. It wasn't walking, it was clambering.
Yes, and they'll grip at one foot and then they'll loosen the grip on the other foot and clamber around. And most birds can't do that. But the pigeons' feet are much better gripping on while they walk than with other birds.
That's very interesting. I think the factor here is security. If you were a pigeon, pigeons are vulnerable. They're on the ground feeding normally on cereals and seeds and things like that. And usually the grass around them is fairly high. They have to be careful because the predator will get them. But if there's a nice hedge that you can walk along and you have a fine vista all around, you don't have to worry so much, at least not about ground predators anyway. And you'll notice an interesting thing about pigeon walking is that the head bobs back and forth. Now, that is about a distance measurement. And we don't have that sense because we have binocular vision. And when we look at something, we have two independent fixes on it. Your left eye sees a slightly different thing to what your right eye sees. And your brain, mysteriously and extraordinarily, synthesizes the two images into one. So you see what you think is one image, but it's actually two amalgamated. Now, in the case of something like a pigeon, pigeons see out one totally different image on the right side. They're looking to the right completely. than they do to the left. So they have two totally different images. Now, how they deal with having consciousness of two completely different images at the same time is a total mystery. But what they lack then is the two images coming from the danger zone. If they're standing there and there's a predator, you want to be able to judge how far that predator is away. We can do it by the parallax, the angle between the two signals coming to our eyes, but the poor old pigeon can't. He has to bob the head. So he gets his two fixes by moving and moving constantly. And it's not peculiar to pigeons. All kinds of things are like that. Any animal that has a vision on one side only must bob the head. Water hens, you can see them as they swim. They have the bobbing, bobbing, bobbing all the time. And this is motion parallax is the term that's used. It's getting different fixes of distance so that it can tell whether there is a danger there, whether I'm likely to be attacked. In other words, how far away is the fox? How far away is the fellow with the gun? That sort of thing. So it's an extraordinary, and I think they do that. It's not just confined to sight. It may have to do with hearing as well. Remember, you judge where a sound is coming from and how far away the sound is by the difference in the sound between in your ears. You're getting two sounds. You're getting one in left ear, one in the right ear, and you have to make sense of it. And from that, you can tell a great deal. And people turn their heads. We turn our heads to get a better idea of the sound. Even smell is rather similar. If there's a smell, where's that smell coming from? You sniff this way and sniff that way. Or something like a snake, for instance. The forked tongue of the snake. It's thought, nobody's sure, of course, but the two tips of the forked tongue register different signals from pheromones and from heat from an animal in front, and they can judge the distance better. But I think that's what's going on here, and I think the pigeon up on top of the hedge is measuring distance all the time by bobbing the head.
Clambering, Niall, I just looked it up. Okay, yeah. Because it's a word I haven't heard for donkey. I can't remember the last time. It's like haberdashery. When is the last time you heard the word haberdashery? Ain't just looking at me.
Yeah, because below in Kilrush, where I go regularly, there's haberdashery shops. Haberdashery is a great word, isn't it?
Actually.
And Vittlers. Vittlers are another one. There's great shop names, actually, and mongers, fishmongers and haberdasheries and Vittlers. They were all names for shops long ago that we don't use now, and yet we know what they mean when nobody mentions them.
Anyway. Clamber, climb or move in an awkward and laborious way, typically using both hands and feet. That sums up the way the pigeon was moving across that box hedge. Apparently box hedge has been around for thousands of years. The Romans were very fond of it. Did you know that, Richard?
Well, the Romans are an interesting lot, you know, living on lark's tongues and things of this kind.
Lark's tongues?
Well, yeah, they didn't live on them, they ate them.
That's true, Anna, you're right. But they ate all kinds of things we'd never eat. You know, I don't think I would enjoy an ancient Roman restaurant somehow.
The box hedge is in danger at the moment because we have a new box hedge moth that has become established in Ireland, and it's eaten the box hedges. Caterpillars have eaten the box hedges. I was buttonholed by Eric Burton, a former DD in the old days. He's one of my neighbours, and he has a box hedge, and it's been gobbled by the caterpillars of the box hedge moth, which is a black and white moth. He has a trap in the tree he got online somewhere with ferrones in it, and all these male moths were going into the thing. He had a big box of the moths, and the caterpillars were gobbling his hedge. And that's only come into the country in the last 2 years. Oh. So the box hedge, the pigeon better hurry up and gobble its food because they may not be any longer with us. It's an invasive species.
We'll have to talk to Eric Dempsey about that. Yeah. He's making a documentary about moths.